I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So I want to show you something this morning. This is a very precious item in the Ardrey Graves household. This is one of those, I probably would grab this if my house was burning down kind of thing. If I knew my husband and my pets and everything was okay, this is what I would grab. So this is a Bible that was given to me and my husband when my husband's grandmother died. It used to be hers. And it's a good old King James, words of Jesus in red. And I can't tell you about this Bible without telling you a little bit about the giver, about my husband's grandmother. Her name was Bee, and all of her grandchildren called her Mama Bee. And she was funny and spunky, and she loved her family, and she loved the Bible. And we know this, of course, by all the stories that people tell, that you did not get into a conversation about Scripture with Mama Bee. You did not ever try to argue with her about Scripture because she knew it way better than you. We also know that she loved the Bible by looking in this Bible. When my father-in-law gave it to me the night of her memorial service, he said we had to check and make sure she was famous for wearing out Bibles. So we had to make sure this one was good to go. And I'd never heard that before. That sounded a little sacrilegious, to wear out a Bible. So I asked about that, and Glenn was like, well, open it up and look. And sure enough, turns out you wear out a Bible by loving it so much that you underline every other word, and you write notes in the margins, and you wear it out so much carrying it with you wherever you go, and the spine gets all cracked, and you just love the Scripture so much. So today's psalm, Mama Bee wore out. She has in here nearly every verse underlined. And at the top of the psalm, right in the margin, in her handwriting, it says, take a bath in this psalm daily. Psalm 139. It's a favorite for a lot of us. It's one of my favorite psalms. Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. Or, in the King James Version, thou knowest my down-sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Oh, it's just lovely, isn't it? It's so nice to think about God knowing us that intimately, being there when all of us were first born, knowing us completely, totally. Every bit of ourselves, from the swirls on your fingertips to the wrinkles in between your toes. It's amazing that God knows us like that. It's amazing until we start thinking about all those parts of ourselves that are not really fit for public view. Maybe those wrinkles in between your toes smell. Sometimes. God knows not just what you look like in your church directory photo, but what you look like when you wake up in, you know, the middle of the night sick. God knows the last time that you were so angry, you blurted out the meanest thing that you could think to say just to be hurtful. God knows all the vices and temptations that you have, all the shameful parts of your heart. God knows all that stuff about you too. And on some level, that can be kind of comforting. But there's something about that kind of intimacy. It leaves us a little uneasy. We're always wanting to show our best, right? We're putting out our best sides, our accomplishments, our Sunday best. We don't always put out there the human side of our hearts. We resist exposing that part of ourselves. And we even resist it with God. We're not so sure that we want to be that closely followed by God. And the psalmist agrees. He says, you press upon me behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Or in the King James, you hem me in behind and before. It's like he's saying, God, I can't get away from you. And then there's a whole section of the psalm we didn't read today, the verses in the middle, where the psalmist continues, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the depths of hell, you are there. So this psalm is a little bit different from some of the others in our Psalter in that it doesn't point us back to community. It doesn't talk about us. It talks about I. It talks about me. And it has that perspective of the individual and all the parts of oneself that are very intimate and the pervasiveness of God in the midst of what we thought was so personal and private. You can't get away. No matter where you go, God's going to be there. Even if you got on a plane and flew to Antarctica, God would be there. Even if you go to the farthest limits of the sea, God's going to be there. Why would a person want to flee from God? Why on earth? If God is so totally loving and accepting all the time, why would any of us ever want to run from God? An encounter with the living God is much like being made to look in the mirror. And sometimes we don't want to look in the mirror. God always pushes us to go where we're uncomfortable, where we're challenged. And God's frequently trying to get us to see things that we don't want to see. And sometimes this is refreshing, right? Sometimes we appreciate being woken up to something, kind of like when we maybe look in the mirror of our society and we see something that is not right. Issues of discrimination and injustice, and we want to act, we want to make changes for the better. And we respond to that kind of call because there's something we can do. There's a way to get involved that changes the world. And that moment in the life of faith, that's what it's all about. Waking up and having that inspired realization that there's important work to do. But it is harder when we have to look at ourselves, when God forces us to see something about our own souls that we don't want to see. It hits a little bit too close to home, and our reaction is usually to run, to ignore what needs changing, and to resist a deeper relationship with God. Resistance to intimacy with God is actually a very common occurrence in our lives as Christians. It happens all the time. It happens to all of us. It might even be a natural part of the process of being faithful people. So imagine it as a cycle. We're confronted with that spiritual mirror. We don't want to look in. We don't want to look at the parts of ourselves that need work. We don't want God to remind us of where we are and where we need to be, and so we run and we avoid doing real spiritual work. We all do this. And so when we pray that psalm today, where can I go from your spirit, Lord? It echoes that urge, that resistance in our hearts. Intimacy with God is a really hard road to follow, especially when it's echoed by our gospel lesson today, those hard words of Jesus that say, whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. But this is the same Jesus who also says to us, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Jesus is calling us to rest and calling us to this life of perfect freedom in God's kingdom. And so I wonder if that spiritual mirror isn't God trying to get our attention. I wonder if God's making a new thing when that happens. So the next time you're confronted with that spiritual mirror, instead of ignoring it, I wonder if we could consider how God might be probing us to get the best out of us. That there might be something in you that God is trying to draw out. There might be something in you that the world needs. What might God want you to give or to reform or to grow in this world? And what is it in you that needs to be put down so that you might give God your best? Maybe you are carrying around something heavy that needs to be put down so that you can join Jesus in carrying the cross. And maybe you're wearing yourself out by running. Maybe you're so frustrated in your faith and you're actually even more ready for change than you know. You were fearfully and wonderfully made by God. You are made to be a holy image of God in the world. And no matter where you are in your life, you have work to do. God wants us all to participate in this healing of the world that he's doing. And this is work that takes our lifetimes to do. And it might be forgiving someone, forgiving a neighbor, or mending a relationship with someone that you have hurt. It might be putting your own needs second so that you might be attentive to the needs of others first. Whatever it is, whatever that spiritual work that is to do, it's probably something you already know about. It's probably something that's right in front of your face because God has a way of putting brokenness in front of us so that we can't ignore it. And that is your ministry. That's your calling, to be God's child in a world that is filled with suffering and to listen, to constantly be attentive to how God might be speaking to you, to go and to change, even if it's a little scary. So last week, Dixon preached about Jeremiah and about that living water that the Israelites were running from. You remember how they tried to store up all the water in those cracked cisterns, and it kept getting them sick, and God kept calling to them, come to the living water, and come in and even just jump in, and come in headfirst into this living water that is my love. So this week, we hear a word from my dear Mama B. Take a bath in this psalm daily. Take a bath in this wild intimacy with God. Take a bath in the love that you are fully known and completely known, even the stinky parts of your toes and every precious hair on your head. Take a bath in knowing that God knows your full and beautiful self, and even in that bath, let go of all of the parts of you that are on the wrong track. Wash off all of the pieces of yourself that keep you from giving God your best. And bask in the love that you are fully known, fully kept in that pervasive, all-loving presence of God in your life. Amen.